You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
TGIF, yes, the final Friday of the Sacramento Kings 2018-2019 season. Last night, their second-to-last home game inside the Golden 1 Center this season. And tonight, their final back-to-back of the 2018-2019 season as the Kings will take on the Utah Jazz one more time in Utah. The first of the final three games this year. Then on Sunday, back home for the home closer against the New Orleans Pelicans before they wrap up the season next Wednesday in Portland against the Trailblazers. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. At least we try to be done each and every single weekday. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Was at the game last night for the Kings and Cleveland Cavaliers. Wasn't necessarily the prettiest game. Wasn't necessarily the most entertaining game. I'm sure you saw the matchup and you thought, okay, the Kings, coming off of a bad loss to the Houston Rockets, should and will win this game against a bad Cleveland Cavaliers team. Really the only thing to be excited about other than Kevin Love on this Cavaliers team, who didn't play last night, was Colin Sexton, and the fact that Colin Sexton and De'Aaron Fox had a good battle with one another when the Kings played the Cavs and beat the Cavs at the very beginning of the season in Cleveland. So Colin Sexton played last night. Was exciting to see the two go at it. Had a couple of good moments. All in all, a pretty dull, dry, and boring game, but a Kings win, their 39th win of the season. And why is that significant? Because that ties their highest win total since the 2005-2006 season. That season, the Kings were coached by Rick Adelman. That's the last time this team has won 39 or more games. In these final three, they need one more to break the 40-win threshold. And 40 wins is significant. Even if it's only 40 and you still finish under 500 for the season, it takes 41 wins to be at 500. Even if they just win one more and finish at 40 and 42, the fact that they reach that number, a number that they haven't reached for a decade plus, that's incredible. And that's something that might be underappreciated and will absolutely be mocked by other fan bases and other franchises around the NBA, that 40 is an expectation by maybe even the All-Star break for some teams in the NBA. But the Kings reaching the 40-win mark, and this is why head coach Dave Yeager talked about it and mentioned it in his post-game press conference last night after the Kings defeated the Cavaliers. The Kings breaking that threshold is another rung on the long ladder to get back to the playoffs. And the fact that they are in a position to, and I believe they will, break that 40-win threshold, that means they have leaped about five or six rungs that we expected them to be still hung up on or still grabbing hold of by this point. The reality is that the Kings are ahead of schedule. And breaking the 40-win threshold, what that says to fans, and there's a intertwined promise in that symbolic achievement. And the intertwined promise, whether the players are going to make it themselves, I'm sure some would vocalize it, some won't, and a lot can change over the course of a summer. But the intertwined promise with the Kings, who are expected to win 25 games this season, making it to the 40-win threshold and being the bubble team in the West that just missed out on a playoff spot, the promise is that by next season, by this point, next year, we'll be saying goodbye to the regular season, but Kings basketball won't be over. It's at this point that the best teams and the good teams really start to look at the competition ahead of them and where they take that next step to that next level. And for some teams, for championship teams, like the Golden State Warriors, it's now when the mindset really starts to change and when the season really begins. We've heard it a million times, and it's been said a million times when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, that they don't care about the regular season. Playoff seeding really doesn't mean that much to them. Whether they have home court advantage or not, they believe and they know they are the best team in the West. They know they're defending champions. And they know they can get the job done no matter what court they're on, no matter what fan base they're in front of, because they've done it before and they've done it a million times. So the fact that they drop a game to the Phoenix Suns or lose to the Los Angeles Lakers in April or in February and December, it doesn't matter to them. Of course, it matters to us here in Sacramento as Kings fans. And it matters that 40 wins, that doesn't mean a lot to an organization like Golden State. It matters that the Kings may and probably will reach that this season. But next year, at this point, on the Locked On Kings podcast, I should be able to speak to you and say the preparations are really beginning for the first true test for this franchise in many, many years. The playoffs are a completely different animal, and we understand that watching from our couches, watching from home. But to be able to once again experience playoff basketball here in Sacramento, that is the promise that reaching 40 wins presents. There's no guarantee that the Kings will even win 40 games next season. There's no guarantee that they'll make the playoffs next year. We like to think that it's linear, that you just go step by step like a ladder. They could fall down a peg or two next year. The West can get better. We expect the Dallas Mavericks to get better. The Phoenix Suns might land a top pick, might get the number one pick again. The Los Angeles Lakers, we know they like to spend money. They still have LeBron James. They can get better. There's still a hell of a lot of talent in Minnesota with the Timberwolves. It's not going to be easy by any means. But for the first time in a long time, the Kings are in the conversation. And it feels like there's a chance. At this point last year, we were just begging for the season to be ending. Many of us were fighting on social media about whether it was good or not for the Kings to win. It was tanking versus development. Then we went into the crazy summer of drafting Marvin Bagley and making moves, all hoping that we would get to this point or somewhat close to this 40-win threshold. But all of us argued about the right way to get there. Now we're here. And I expect a win in these final three games. In fact, I'm pushing for two. You get two wins in these final three. You beat Utah, New Orleans, or Portland. You beat two of those teams. You're finishing the season 41-41. 500 for this Sacramento Kings organization. I cannot stress how significant that is and how much pride the Kings players, the Kings coaches, Vlade Divac, the front office, and Kings fans should feel in the Kings reaching that threshold and not just reaching it, but being in a position to reach it at this point. There's only one more opportunity in Sacramento for fans to watch this team play a regular season game until October. Think about that for a second. We're at the beginning of April. There's one more game, and then with the exception of the California Classic, it's all the way until October. Hundreds of days until we'll see the Kings play a regular season again. in Sacramento. And the fact that that one game can be the game that pushes them to 40 wins or pushes them to a guaranteed 500 record, depending upon what they do tonight in Utah, that's pretty incredible. That's pretty awesome. That's something that I know I'm proud of. I know many Kings fans are proud of and should be proud of. And something none of us thought possible when we started this season. I'll stop preaching now and I'll recap this game. Like I said, not exactly exciting. Kings win 117-104. Ugly game. A lot of mistakes, especially by the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Kings forced 22 turnovers. Kings had 12 steals in this game. Buddy Hield led the team in scoring, 23 points. 5 of 11 from three-point range. He's chasing Damian Lillard for the youngest player to score he's chasing Damian Lillard's record of being the youngest to score or scoring the most three-pointers at such a young age. That's something we'll track and keep an eye on here through these final few games. De'Aaron Fox, double-double, 16 points, 10 assists. Remember, he had a triple-double against the Cleveland Cavaliers earlier on this season. Not needing that in this game to get the victory. Bogey had a great game off the bench, 7 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, finished with 18 points. And Marvin Bagley only played 20 minutes, and Dave Yeager said that was because of matchups. Marvin Bagley still managed 15 points and 8 rebounds, and it was a bad night for him in only 20 minutes of play. If Marvin Bagley, and I get it's against the Cleveland Cavaliers, so he's not exactly facing the greatest of competition. But on a bad night, the fact that Marvin Bagley can nearly get a double-double, still drop 15 points, and pull down 8 rebounds, if that's a bad game, and we've seen him play a lot of good games, imagine what a great game will be for this guy. I don't think we've seen a great game from Marvin Bagley yet. We've seen good games and games that have given us more than enough reason to be happy and excited. But sooner or later, and it probably won't be this season, maybe early next season, we'll see a great game. We'll see a breakout game, a game that makes a statement that Marvin Bagley will be a star in this league. And if he's putting up 15 points and 8 rebounds on a bad game, heaven only knows what a great game stat line will look like for him, which is pretty exciting. Head coach Dave Yeager's press conference afterwards was really cool, really awesome, had a lot of great things to say, complimented the fan base as he always tends to do. He, like me, stressed the importance of reaching 40 wins and how big of a deal that is for this Kings team and how the goal is just to cross that line, just to get there. And he also said something that I think is extremely important, that the Kings have an opportunity to finish with a top 16 record in the NBA. Now, 16 teams in the NBA make it to the NBA playoffs. Of course, because of the conference system, it's not always the 16 best teams. In fact, very rarely is it the 16 best teams that make it. As of right now, the Kings have a better record than the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. That's a tough pill to swallow. Some team, typically in the West, has to go through it, sometimes multiple teams have to go through that every single season, and this time it's the Kings' turn. But I tell you what, I'd rather be in that situation than the cellar of the West with no hope at the playoffs. I'd rather taste the disappointment of just missing out and the bitterness towards the Eastern Conference of having made it if they were a few states down and a couple hundred miles to the East. I'd rather deal with that bitterness than arguing at this point again over tanking and draft picks and what role player the Kings can hopefully bring in during free agency to help them win one or two more games. Significant difference. And it's time to enjoy every second of it. Yesterday's podcast was a little bit strange. I waited until only an hour before game time to post it, and that's because I only recorded it about an hour and a half before game time. I sat down courtside with Morgan Reagan. She's the color commentator for the Stockton Kings. She also works for the Sacramento Kings, director of the Junior Kings basketball program. has been a co-worker of mine before at KHDK, host of the Deuce and Mo podcast, host of the All Things Kings podcast, deeply ingrained in this Kings culture. I think you'll enjoy that conversation, so I encourage you to go and check that out. In just a second, I'm going to play for you about a five-minute conversation that I had with the high flyer Henry Turner. I spoke with him also courtside during warm-ups. I work with him a lot at KHDK. He and I host game night together before Kings games. And we always have great conversations, so I wanted to record a quick one, an impromptu one there that I'll play for you here in just a second. So stay tuned for that. And after this podcast is over, go and check out my conversation with Morgan Reagan. Sitting courtside with the high flyer Henry Turner, getting ready for Sacramento Kings and Cleveland Cavaliers. Second to last game inside the Golden 1 Center. Henry, watching some Kings players warm up, watching some Cavaliers warm up. And as we get to the time of the year, it's really a time for reflection, right? We think of where this team was months ago, how they got to today. And we've had a lot of conversations about this on KHDK, but if I were to tell you at the start of this year where the Kings would be at today, even though they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, I feel like both of us would have been doing backflips.
Exactly. I wouldn't have believed it. The way this team is playing and for what they've done this year, it's amazing. You know, I know we had got our hopes up high looking at the playoffs and everything, but still, even with this team not making the playoffs, the way they've played this year and the way they've won games and the record that they're having is still astonishing.
We got this guy Harrison Barnes working out with Bobby Jackson right in front of us. How would you have reacted if I had told you at the beginning of the year the Kings would end the season with a talent like Harrison Barnes on their roster looking for the future spot of that three position?
You know, they're making some big moves, man, and I think they're making the right moves. When you bring in a high-quality guy, a high-character guy like Harrison Barnes, you can do nothing but make your team better. I don't care if it's just even in the locker room, man. A guy like Harrison Barnes who's been there, who's done that, championship pedigree, great college career, high-quality guy to have on your crew.
Henry, you're a former NBA player, former international basketball player, so you would have better perspective than I could get really anywhere else. These guys aren't unfortunately not going to make the playoffs, but they did get a taste of what being in the hunt is over the last month or so. What does that do to light a fire for a work ethic and work rate over the offseason?
Well, you have to understand, you have a bunch of young guys, and these guys want to make a splash in the NBA. So when you talk about having a chance to even make it to the playoffs, I know these guys are hungry, man. I know they want to do better. I know they want to make it better. And like I said, you got guys who are in their first, second, and third year. The sky's the limit for this young team.
And I'm sure there are plenty of Kings players over there that are looking forward to the end of the season to kind of wind down, take a break from basketball a little bit. But when does the work begin during an NBA offseason?
You know, it just all depends upon the guy. It depends upon his body. It depends upon how many minutes he's put in. You know, like when you look at a guy like Bogdanović usually goes two ways. He's a two-way player. He's USA, he's European. So I think, you know, for a guy like him, he might be ready to shut it down, get the little ailments worked out, get the treatment, get back healthy, get ready to start off a real good NBA year. And then, you know, you got some guys who didn't, you know, get the quality minutes, didn't quite get the minutes that they thought they were going to get. Well, you might take a week off and then you're right back at it honing your skills.
Bogey is one of the many gym rats on this roster, and nobody's more of a gym rat than Buddy Hield. Anytime he can take to get a shot up, he will take that opportunity, even in in-game situations, Henry. But is there maybe some like advice that you would give for them to take a little bit of time off from the game, or is it okay if Buddy picks up a basketball the game or the day after the season starts and gets back to work?
You know, I had a chance to play with a guy that was just like Buddy Hield, who loved to play basketball. Mitch Richmond was the exact same way. If you told Mitch he couldn't walk into a gym and shoot a basketball, it was a problem that day. So, you know, like I said, it just all depends upon how the guy feels, you know, how he's dealing with his body. You know, I'm pretty sure Buddy probably will take some time off, but Buddy loves to be in the gym. And if that's where he wants to be as a professional basketball player, that's a good place for you.
You know, we always put all of our attention, and rightfully so, on the head coach of a coaching staff. Oftentimes, he's the fall guy when teams don't do well, or he's the guy to point fingers at for rotations, things like that. But when you come and attend every game, especially when you show up early, you always see the assistant coaches are the ones working really closely with the guys, Elston Turner, Bobby Jackson, Jason March. So many great assistants on this team who are extended or offered one more year of their contract to be even with head coach Dave Yeager. How important is it to the success of a team to have a dedicated and dialed in, hardworking coaching staff?
Man, let me tell you this. When you have a young basketball crew like we have here in Sacramento, you have to tip your hat. to each and every last one of these guys out here working with these players, because they are the ones that are making these players better. They are the ones that are teaching these players on a day-to-day basis. You know, Coach Larry Lewis is the one that's in here, have the big guys out working on their ball handling. Elston Turner is the one that's giving these guys, you know, mental type of situations. And as you see, Bobby Jackson, a solidified sixth man, is working over there with Harrison Barnes. Who else to have working with Harrison Barnes but a solidified sixth man guy that he knows and respects? So you have to take your hat off to each and every last one of these guys, man, because they're the guys that's making this team better.
And when you know the Kings are out of it, when you're a player, you've gone through a long season, you have the disappointment of no postseason now to play for, how do you remain focused through these final couple of games? How should these young King players approach this final week of the season?
You just said it, a young basketball team. They still have things to play for. They still want to play for their own pride. Understanding that, you know, a 40-win season is very good for these guys, very obtainable, but still, they still have some holes to fill. They still have some things to get better at. So, you know, they want to be that elite basketball team. So hard work never stops, because it always pays off.
Even if you finish under 500, is breaking the 40-win threshold symbolic in the NBA?
I tell you what, for me it is. I tell you what, 40 sounds a whole lot better than 39.
That's true. And 25, which is what the Kings were pegged at earlier.
Exactly.
That is the High Flyer, Henry Turner. Nice enough to spend a couple of minutes here as we're getting ready for Kings and Cavaliers. Hopefully the Kings can get back in the winning way on their home floor. Huge thank you to the High Flyer, Henry Turner, for taking the time here to speak with me on Locked On Kings before this last game. Again, he and I work together a lot at KHDK, AM 1140, if you're in Sacramento or in the greater Sacramento area. You can also listen at any time on KHDK.com or by downloading the KHDK app, available on the Android, iTunes Store, or whatever it is, Apple Store. You can find it, and I encourage you to check it out. Henry is a great guy, fantastic basketball mind. Has a good relationship with almost everybody in the Kings organization, players and coaches included. So he's always going to provide great insight, and we'll definitely have him back on the podcast sometime this summer, but definitely next season when that time comes around. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to get him on with the established relationship that we've had. And if you want more, let me know at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Before we wrap up, I wanted to share my two cents on the Willie Cauley-Stein situation as presented by the Sacramento Bee. Jason Anderson, you've heard him on this podcast a couple of times. He's the new beat writer. This is his first year as the beat writer for the Sacramento Kings. Great guy. Does typically good work. But yesterday, or rather the day before yesterday, so that's Wednesday, he released an article that was irresponsible, to say the least. Now, he's since gone and changed the article. He released a new article today apologizing and following up on Willie Cauley-Stein. But this article presented something that Willie did and said completely the wrong way. And I feel like it's important for me, and it's my obligation as someone who was there, as someone who believes in ethical journalism, as someone who believes in making sure that the player is properly portrayed and their meaning is not lost in their comments. I think it's important for me to share my firsthand witnessing of everything that went on. And you can either choose to believe me or not, but trust me when I say I'm at every single Kings game. I'm in the locker room after every single game. I'm around Willie constantly. I'm around all these players constantly. So I have a good idea of what's going on. Jason Anderson wrote in the article that Willie made an offhanded comment to Marvin Bagley right before speaking with the media that he said, "I can't wait to get out of here." And Jason interpreted that as saying, "I can't wait to get out of Sacramento. I'm done. I'm ready for the season to end, and I'm ready to pursue my career elsewhere," which couldn't be farther from the truth. And here's my entire situation. This is just through my eyes, through my thought process. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, although I know many people agree with me. Willie Cauley-Stein and the Kings had just gotten blown out by the Houston Rockets. They'd just gotten embarrassed by the Houston Rockets. And they've gotten embarrassed by the Houston Rockets a lot over the past couple of seasons, but especially this season. They just lost by 25 points at home in their third-to-last home game of the year. Willie and the entire Kings locker room was quiet, solemn, nobody really wanted to talk, because nobody ever wants to talk after a loss like that. That's something you learn really quickly working with athletes and players in sports journalism. You put a microphone in front of a player's face after a major moment or a big loss, you're going to get their emotion. And the emotion after that game was, that sucked. This is terrible. That was a garbage game. We are all terrible. I hate the Rockets. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go home and forget about this one. And that wasn't just specific to Willie Cauley-Stein. That was every single player in that Kings locker room. Head coach Dave Yeager took the podium afterwards, and while he's always professional, you can tell when he walks into the press conference room and sits down, he doesn't really want to be there after losses like that. It's just something you grow to expect. So when he made that offhanded comment to Marvin Bagley that he wanted to get out of here, he wasn't saying that he wanted to get out of Sacramento. He was saying that he wanted to get out of the locker room. He didn't want to speak to us in the media. And he wanted to go see his family and friends that were waiting for him. How do I know that he had family and friends waiting for him? Because when I left the locker room well after the conversation, he was sitting or standing in the hallway in the tunnel underneath the arena with a group of about 5 or 6 people, including kids, men, women, people that he was interacting with, talking with, taking pictures with. All Willie wanted to do was get the interview over with. He didn't really want to talk to us in the first place, and I don't blame him. And he wanted to walk out and see his family and go home and forget that game ever happened. I'm 100% okay with that. That is the truth. That is what took place. So anybody listening to this podcast should know, without a doubt, what Willie's meaning was and what the situation was. And if you want to try and still go conspiracy theory and say, I still believe Willie wants out of Sacramento, that's fine. You have no facts to back that up. You just have your gut feeling. And if that's how you want to, that's how you want a fan, that's how you want a fan. But I'm telling you, from someone who interacts with Willie a lot, for someone who is both complimentary of Willie and critical of Willie, he's a great teammate. He's a great guy. He's very kind. Sometimes puts his foot in his mouth. But that wasn't one of those times. So let that be known and let that be understood by everybody that listens to Locked On Kings. Thank you to everybody who tuned in this week. We will be back next week to recap this Utah Jazz game tonight and, of course, the final home game of the season against the New Orleans Pelicans. And we will get ready for the final game of the season against the Portland Trailblazers. If you like my conversation with Morgan Reagan yesterday and you want more of that, please let me know at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also reach me at mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And please reach out. If you also have the time to leave a review of this podcast, either on the Himalaya app or the iTunes store or anything like that, please do that. That would help us out a ton. I read all of those. I learn from them. It can be positive, can be negative, doesn't matter. I don't take them personally. I want to learn and I want this this podcast to grow and get better every single day. And that's one of the great ways to get feedback. Thank you to everybody who tuned in today. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Stay safe, get some rest, enjoy it. And we will talk to you on Monday. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.